God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving. You've given us this beautiful day. Everything comes from you. And we look outside and we say, this is from you, and you are kind and good. Now, as we open your word and read, I pray that you would, through your word, speak to us. Your spirit would draw our hearts to you and help us to know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to talk about something today that if you want to get ahead of me and go to 1 John 5, that's where we're going to be. There's something that happens in Christianity in general. It might be happening. It might have happened or be happening to you, be part of your experience. If you're kind of investigating Christianity, if you're not a Christian yet, but you're seeing what it's all about, or for those of us who have been on the inside for a long time, what happens is we tend to think less of our relationship with God than what it actually is. So by way of explanation, we think that our relationship with God is transactional. I get baptized, I behave, I don't go to hell. We think of it as a system of religion. This is who I am. We think of it as believing the right thing. I don't think what those people believe. I have the truth. It's our social club, maybe, where our friends are. It's our duty. I have to assist. I have to behave. And of course, it is all that, but it is so much more. And when we see it as that and only that, we lose out on the biggest part of our relationship with God, what it should be, what it is. It's so much more than that. It should be something. It is something that should affect and transform our entire life. Our text today, go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. Our text today is going to show us what we really have in Christ. This hopefully will be a source of joy for those of us who are Christians, and an incredible invitation if you are outside the family of God still. So 1 John 5:20, there's three affirmations. Remember, if you said, well, we saw this one last week. We did. We saw part of it. So we're going to kind of finish it this week. There were three big affirmations in this verse. So he says, we know that there's things that are true about children of God. We know that it's common knowledge. These are affirmations that form the foundation of our faith. So we know that the Son of God has come. That's the first affirmation, right? Jesus came to earth, to the cross, sent his spirit, and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. That's the second affirmation. He's come, given us this divine understanding. He's opened our hearts with the gospel so that we can know God. It's not just intellectual knowledge. It's a relationship. We can be God's children. And now this is for this week. That was last week, this week. But there's an and, so we have to start at the beginning. So third affirmation, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. We're in Christ. We're in God. We're in Christ. We're in God in as much as we are in Christ, because we are in Christ. The big idea from this text for us today is this: God's children are in Christ, God's children. If we've received this divine understanding from Jesus, if we've come to know the Father, then we are in Jesus. And at first glance, that's an easy one to say, oh, you know, amen to it. That's an easy one to say, nod our heads. And of course, it sounds good. We're in Christ. Let's go on to the next idea. There's more in the verse. And think about it. It's a bit odd, that phrasing, we're in Christ. What does that even mean? How does that work? What does that mean for my life? It says that we're in Christ, but really, are we in Christ? That has to be some kind of odd metaphor, right? It can't be literal. It has to be some kind of metaphor, but it's not. The Bible presents it. The New Testament presents this idea of being in Christ as a literal reality. The state, the actual current state of anyone who is a Christian, that person is in Christ. So be prepared to do what we did last week. We won't do this every week. You know that. These are exceptions to the norm weeks. We're going to jump around a lot. So get your Bibles ready, your Bible fingers on your phone ready, however you read the Bible, or just
jot these down because we're going to go fast. Colossians 3 verse 3 says, "For you have died," so talking to Christians, "you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Your life is hidden with Christ in God. We are literally in Christ. It's not a metaphor. It's our actual state. Here, in that phrase, in Christ, we actually find what is one of the doctrines that is the most, I think most ignored. It's ignored. We glaze over it. It's in Christ this, in Christ that. As we're reading along, we glance over it. We don't focus on it. But it ironically is one of the best explained doctrines in the New Testament, and it is also one of the most beautiful and impacting doctrines in the New Testament. And we just kind of glaze over it. It becomes a phrase that is tacked on to other verses. It's our life is hidden in Christ. It's tacked on to other things. And maybe that's because it's when we think about it, when we start trying to think about it, it's a bit difficult to understand, to believe. It's almost easy just to cast it aside. It's not that the prepositional phrase in Christ. It's just a kind of ancient, maybe it's kind of like old-timey language, but it's in the whole New Testament. It's everywhere. It's a phrase that is repeated in the entire New Testament, over and over again in the New Testament. It's used to explain every single part of the Christian life. Do this if you're curious, or make yourself curious if you're not. Go to Google Go to whatever your favorite Bible concordance app is and just look for the phrase in Christ in the New Testament. It's incredible. The results are literally overwhelming. We couldn't look at a fraction we're going to look at a lot of verses today, not even a fraction of what you would find if you would do that search. This is not a weird metaphor or old-timey language. It is a comprehensive teaching in the New Testament. Well, look at 1 John. Go back to chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him, so whatever person says that they abide are in Jesus, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. He connects our responsibility to imitate Jesus with the reality that we are in Christ. Look at the instruction Jesus gives his disciples before he goes to the cross. Go to John 15. We could read the whole first part of it. We won't read that later. We'll look at verse 4. John 15, verse 4. Jesus speaking says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned." For Jesus, our relationship with him is one of us being in him, connected to him, abiding in him. Or a couple pages later, John 17, the prayer that Jesus makes to the Father before he goes to the cross. Look at verse 21, and we're just jumping in the middle. So, "that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." It's not an isolated metaphor tacked on to a couple things that Paul said and when he, you know, was kind of getting wordy. This is the actual state of God's children. We are in Christ. So if that's our reality, if that's what the Bible says is for us, then we need to know how that works. If we're in Christ, so first question, what does it mean to be in Christ? What is that? That's intimate language, is it not? It's language that would signal a connection. It's this language that would denote permanence. It's language that would reflect transformation within us. Being in Christ, what is it? It's being connected with Christ, to Christ, literally connected with Christ, like Jesus and God are connected. If you say, "Ooh, that's You can't make that connection. Go to John chapter 14, verse 10. Look at what Jesus says in verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. So that's a Trinity. And we would say, of course, to that. It's three in one, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. They're united, one in the other, can't be separated, connected, completely connected. Now jump down to verse 20, same chapter, John chapter 14. Jesus says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father. So he's repeating what he said just a couple of verses before. And you in me, and I in you. It's incredible to think, to imagine that we share this kind of unity with Jesus. We're in him to the point where he compares it or puts it in the same sentence with how he is in the Father and we're in him. In Jesus, we are, when it says in Christ in the New Testament, when that phrase is used, we are connected with him and with the Father in the way that he is connected with the Father. That is incredible. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Being in Jesus means being forming his body. We are physically part of him in this earth. Look on this earth. Look at chapter 20 or verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, or Romans 12, verse 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are in Christ. Together we form his body on the earth. Again, it's incomprehensible to imagine the privilege of that. We, those of us who are in Christ, we are the physical representation of the Son of God here. We are part of his being. You're in Christ and we're part of his body. One more thing. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Being in Christ, it means being part of his family. So chapter 2, verse 6, start in verse 1 later and read the whole thing. But he's talking about how God saves us, and he says, and raised us up with him, with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in Christ, we sit in a celestial place. We're part of the eternal family of God. We're his sons and daughters. We're brothers and sisters of Jesus. When we are in Christ, we are connected with him. We're part of his body here. We're members of his eternal family. That's part of what it means to be in Christ. So how do we enter? What does that look like? How do you get connected with Jesus? How do you enter into him? What joins us to him? How can we be in Christ? Well, it's a miracle. That's the short explanation. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It's a miracle. It's God does this. It's a work of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, because of him, so because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Being united with Christ is not something that you and I could do. Can't wake up one morning and say, I want to be in Christ. I want to be connected to God. We can't do that. God, sovereignly God saves us. He washes our sins away. I can't do that. He has to do that. Likewise, sovereignly, he unites us to his Son. So when does he unite us to Christ? How does that work? We enter into Christ when we give ourselves to him. And bonus points if you're already here, because this is a very obvious place we're going. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. When we surrender to Jesus, we enter into him. That's when it happens. Romans 6, verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. When we enter into the gospel, when we enter into the gospel of Jesus, we enter into Christ. When we repent and are baptized, we're united with him in his death and his resurrection. That is an enormous part of the meaning of what happens when you are baptized, when we are baptized. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Thought occurs to me as I'm reading that. We could have just looked at that verse at the beginning when I was trying to demonstrate through the word how being in Christ was not just a little thing tacked on. It is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. We are in Christ. In the moment when we are baptized, when we repent and are baptized, in that moment, it's a very special moment, because in that moment, God saves us. And in that moment, we enter into Christ. And in that moment, his Spirit enters into us. That's Acts 2:38, right? Repent and be baptized for forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In that moment, we're united with Christ, and his Spirit is united with us. His Spirit connects us with him. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Oh, we just read that a little bit ago. Yeah, this is the book we're in. Okay, 1 John 4, 13. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he in us. So this is how we know that we are in him, and that he is in us. Because he has given us of his Spirit. So his Spirit dwells in us and connects us with Christ and lets us know I'm in him and he's in me. We are connected. Last question, what do we receive? Well, it's never the last question until I say, what should we do? That's the application question. So next to last question, what do we receive by being in Jesus? What does that change in our lives? How does that transform our life? I use words like impactful and transformative at the beginning. What has actually changed in our lives by being united with Christ? What does that mean for our lives? Well, in Christ, we are completed. It's that, as I was writing this, that overused, just cheesy line from the movie, was in the 80s, 90s, I don't know, Jerry Maguire, that you can't complete the line, you complete me, right? That line, that horribly cheesy, that's what God literally does in us, through us, when we are in Christ. He completes us. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It's talking about Jesus. For in him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. That is the verse that says incarnation. God became man. Jesus is all of God, and he has a body. And verse 10, and you have come to fullness of life in him. You are made complete in Christ. That's another translation. That's literally how the translation reads that I'll be reading tonight. You are made complete in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Christ, God completes us. He makes us complete. He makes us full. Yeah, we're connected permanently with God in Christ, in the image, in whose image we were made. And in that relationship, he completes us. He repairs what is broken on the inside. He heals our wounds. He returns us to our original identity. We're made by God and for God to be in a relationship with God. He fills us with purpose and joy and peace. What do we receive in Christ? Everything is found in Christ, right? The fullness of the deity. Everything that God is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. And when we are in him, we receive everything that is in him. We receive, I put it in the notes. I actually copied it in, and then I didn't copy it in. I put it in the list of verses I wanted to use, and I just couldn't. Read Romans 8, 26 to 39. Today, tomorrow, sometime in your family devotion, in devotional time. Everything that is in Christ, we receive. We receive salvation. We receive transformation, security, protection, being in Christ answers the biggest questions of our existence. It resolves our problems. Who am I? What's my identity? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Being in Christ, being a Christian, is so much more than just believing what's correct and not going to hell and having to go to church and behaving. God's children are connected with Him. They are in Christ, and in Him, God gives us everything. So what do we do with that? What's the application? Well, for Christians, there were a lot of different ways we could go with the application. Here's where I want us to go today. We should remember this reality, and we should let it transform our existence. We should actively remember that we are in Christ. I am in Christ. Not just I'm a new creation, I'm saved, I'm connected with Jesus. So when we're in the middle of a temptation, we're being tempted to rebel against God, to not imitate Christ, in that moment, we should remind ourselves, I'm in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror in Him. I'm in Christ. I belong to Him, not to me. When we feel lonely and sad and depressed and none of us, but, you know, other people, right? When then that comes into our lives, when we find ourselves running after the approval and the love from other people, and we never can get enough, we should remind ourselves, I'm in Christ. I'm a dearly beloved child of God. I'm connected with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I'm not alone. I'm not forsaken. I'm not abandoned. When we perceive in ourselves that we're running after more and more, and I got to get some more, I'm not going to be happy until I have more money, more things, more experiences, we should remind ourselves, I'm in Christ. I am complete in Christ. I can enjoy the life that God gives me without making an idol of His blessings, because I have more than enough in Jesus. One more, when we're fearful, we think about the future and problems and other people, and we just anxious and worried, and we should remind ourselves, I am in Christ, and I am safe and secure in His hands for all of eternity. He holds me. We should actively remember. If you're a Christian, we should actively remember that we are in Jesus and live lives that are transformed by this reality that I am in Christ. And if you're not a Christian, this message is a message full of hope for you, because, okay, the gospel confronts us with our rebellion against God. It tells us how horrible we are. It shows us God's wrath and the condemnation that we deserve and will receive. But there's hope. We saw it today. You can enter into Jesus, not make a transaction at the bank and get saved. You can enter into Christ. You can receive salvation and eternal security and so much more. You can be in Jesus and His Spirit in you, and you can receive everything that is in Him. And that occurs in an instant when you come to that and you say, I want that. I have to have that. And you tell someone here, one of the men who's been up here, you give yourself to Jesus. You decide to follow Him by repenting and being baptized. In that moment, you receive Jesus and He receives you, and you enter in to Him. Let's end with taking a moment to remember together. Remember the reason that we can be in Jesus, that all of this is true for us if we are in Him. We can be connected with God. We can receive every spiritual blessing. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. One more verse, Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, by shedding His blood, suffering in our place. We can now be in Him. We can be full of life and full of hope. So let's take the bread and take the cup and remember His body and His blood together. And in this moment in our hearts, remember and thank Him and worship together. God, we thank You because You are so good to us. You love us and You save us and You make us Your children, and You connect us with You in a way that we can barely just start to understand. It's a mystery, but you say that it's true. We're connected with you. We are in you. And we thank you, Jesus, for making that possible by opening that up to us, by coming to the cross and suffering so horrifically. We thank you. We worship you. In your name we pray. Amen.